First of all, I'd like to thank you for pre-ordering my new book, Refined, Finding Joy in the Midst of the Fire. You know, it's no small thing to put your heart on paper. It's no small task to write and write and write and to share with others what God has shown to you. And so, again, let me thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support, for your love, and for purchasing this book. I pray that it'll bless your life in deep and rich ways. As many of you know, the book was due at the publishers on December the 1st, 2014. These deadlines are set by the publishers months, almost a year in advance, and I had worked on this book over the course of 6, 7, or 8 months. And then, knowing that the deadline was December the 1st, 2014, I was diagnosed with cancer on November the 3rd, 2014. So just about 4 weeks before this book on how to get through the fires of life was due in its entirety to a publisher, I entered a firestorm of my own. I entered the firestorm of cancer. Now, when I called my publisher to tell them, they gave me so much grace and said, if you need more time, take it. If you want to rewrite the open or the close, feel free to do so. And I tried to do that. I tried to edit the book, to change the book, to add my personal storm to the body of the book, but it just didn't work. I couldn't make it fit. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, no, don't do any rewrites. This is what I want you to do, Carol. Just apply the principles that you have written about and refined to your fire of cancer. And so that's what I did. As I entered the arena, the boxing match with cancer, I took the principles that I had written about in my book, Refined, into that fighting match. And let me tell you something. You know what? It worked. Every principle that I wrote about in the book Refined worked in my personal fire of cancer. I have come through this intense burning fire of cancer, and I don't even smell like smoke. Now, I must admit that many fires through which I have walked, I've come out smelling a whole lot like a campfire. But that's because I've tried to put out the fire in my own strength. I've tried to lessen the blaze with my emotions, with my human reactions, and with my opinions. And it didn't work. And I can tell you this, if it didn't work for me, it's probably not going to work for you either. And so for the next few minutes, I want to share with you some of the main principles that truly worked for me while I was ferociously battling the fire of cancer. So today, what is your fire? Is it finances? Is it your health? Is it an addiction or rejection? Is it your past? Perhaps your fire is infertility or widowhood or unemployment or a rebellious child or a relationship issue. Whatever your fire is today, I want you to know. I want you to understand. I want you to have an aha moment. That the principles I'm going to share with you worked for me, and they will indeed work for you. You know, when you first encounter a fire in the natural, your first thought is, where's the water? I need some water to battle the flames of this fire. We all know that water is able to douse the flames of serious intensity. Water has the power to lessen the destruction of a blaze. Water, when used quickly and efficiently, has the power to snuff out a fire before it even gets out of control. And water starts with the word, with the letter W. And so I want to talk to you about the four W's of how to lessen the damage of the fire. Four W's. I want to talk to you about the four W's that will minimize the intensity of any fire in life that you go through. The first W is this: who. You must know who God is before the flames threaten to destroy your life. The great theologian A.W. Tozer says this: whatever comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Listen, if you're encountering a fire today, you must know that you know that you know that God is good all the time and that He does not send bad things into the lives of His children. Let me tell you something about God and about His characteristics, about His attributes. Whatever God is, He is that attribute perpetually and continually and enthusiastically and eternally. So when we study the attributes of God, we know that He is that thing full throttle. There is not one iota of that which opposes that attribute inside the heart and the character and the makeup of God. So let me begin by reading to you some scriptures that describe to you exactly who God is. And I want you to discover a theme that's going on in these verses. First of all, Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. Psalm 9:9-10, the Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. How about this one? Jeremiah 33:11. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Have you read Nahum 1:7 lately? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. How about the words of the psalmist in Psalm 16:2? I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. And then James 1:17, written by the very pen of James, the biological brother of Jesus. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Well, if that's not enough for you, how about Psalm 31:19? How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you. Think about it for a minute. You serve a God who is good all the time. There is nothing bad or evil in the character of God. His goodness is a rich and glorious gift that we get to experience this side of heaven's glory. God's goodness is aimed at your life today. When I found myself immersed in the flames of cancer, I knew that cancer had not come from God, because God is good all the time. He doesn't cause bad things to come into the lives of His children. What do you think, that there's cancer up in heaven and God says, I think I'll throw some at Carol? No, that's ridiculous. That's laughable. That's absurd. You must know who God is when you're going through the fires of life. No matter what fire you're in today, bask in the goodness of your Father. Don't question Him. Praise Him. Don't blame Him. Worship Him. And rest in His goodness towards you while you're encountering a fire. Declare His goodness toward your fire. I want to challenge you. Memorize these scriptures about the goodness of God. You can find them all in the book Refined. Pray these scriptures about the goodness of God. Although the fire may be bad and fierce, God is good, and His goodness is more powerful than any fire that threatens your life. You must know who God is. The second W is the Word of God. You must fight your fire with the power that's only found in the Word of God. You know, shortly after I was diagnosed with cancer, because I'm a word girl, I went to the Lord and I said, God, you must give me a scripture to use in this battle. And then I got a little bit bold with the Holy Spirit and I said, Holy Spirit, and if it could please not be Jeremiah 29:11 or Romans 8:28, I'd really appreciate it. I wanted something more specific than that. And that very morning in my quiet time, I was reading in Nahum chapter 1. Now, there are a lot of folks who don't even know that there is a book in the Bible by the name of Nahum. But that's where my daily Bible reading took me that particular day. And when my eyes and my heart and my spirit landed upon Nahum 1:15, I knew that God had given me my fighting verse. This is what it says. For the evil one will never pass your way again. He is cut off completely. I have wrung the truth and the joy and the hope and the promise out of that verse. I have prayed it. I have declared it. I have shared it. I want to encourage you today, ask God to give you a personal scripture to spray on your fire. I have an entire team of doctors that have treated my cancer, and one of my doctors is a precious Indian, brilliant surgeon. And I was sharing him one day that the Lord had given me a scripture, and he looked at me with his Indian eyes and he said, oh, what one is it? And I shared with him Nahum 1:15, for the evil one will never pass your way again. He is cut off completely. And my surgeon looked at me and he said, oh my, that's a good one. And I said, yes, sir, it is. The word is a powerful weapon against the fiery darts of the enemy of our faith. The word of God has the power to shut the mouth of Satan. The word of God, when used liberally, daily, and passionately, will ensure that there will be no long-term damage from the fire in which you have found yourself. The word of God waters your life in such a way so that there's no destruction, no charring, no devastation. You know, the word of God really does a miracle for people who are in the fire. Let me tell you what that miracle it is. When you use the word of God on your fire, there's no destruction, there's no charring, there's no devastation. Have you ever seen a field that's been ruined by a fire? Or have you ever seen a house that's been destroyed by a fire? All you see are black ashes and soot. But when a believer, when a child of God goes through the fire and sprays the word of God on their fires, a miracle happens. The beauty of new growth takes place. New purpose happens. New assignments are given. Ministry opportunities will spring up in spite of the fire when you are watering your life with the word of God. The third W is worship. Listen, we are not a people who blame God, but we are a people who worship God. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. If you only have one assignment while in the fire, it's to greatly rejoice. We don't whine, we worship. That's who we are. And every child of God, at certain junctures in their life, have had to make this decision. Daniel had to decide. David had to decide. Esther had to decide. Sarah had to decide. And you, my friend, are no different than those heroes of faith. Will you whine or will you worship? Will you greatly rejoice while the fires of life blaze around you? Will you open your mouth and sing a song of heartfelt praise to the God who is good all the time and to the God in whose word we trust? You know, there were three young men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who also encountered a ferocious fire. The Bible talks about them in the book of Daniel, and their fire story is found in Daniel chapter 3. Let me read to you a few verses. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. So this fire had been heated 7 times hotter than it would be for a normal person. King Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he said, heat that fire up 7 times hotter. And when his drooling, hulking bouncers tried to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, the bouncers all fell down dead. Just experiencing the heat of the flame killed them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire all tied up. Their arms and their legs were tied up. Daniel 3, 24 through 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded, and he stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. The powerful and controlling Nebuchadnezzar was incredulous. What he saw in the fiery furnace was causing him to experience dry-mouthed fear and heart-pounding panic. The greatest earthly king who had ever lived saw not 3 men in the midst of the fire, but he saw 4 men in the furnace of great affliction. Nebuchadnezzar also noticed a peculiar and troubling detail concerning these men. They were no longer bound and tied up, but they were loosed and walking about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were having the worship service of their life. While in a fire that had slayed the wimps of the kingdom of darkness, these three courageous, faith-filled men were dancing with Jesus. They were not burning alive, but they were in the presence of the greatest king who would ever live in all of eternity. When you worship, you are not alone. When you worship, Jesus joins the dance in your fire. Will you do it? Will you worship when you find yourself in a fire of life? Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. So what's your job assignment when you're in a fiery ordeal? Your job assignment is to rejoice with exaltation. Your worship should be at an all-time high when you find yourself in a fire of life. And then the 4th W is witness. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the fact that your fire may not be about you, but it might be about the people that you encounter while you're going through a fire? You know, ever since I was a little girl, I've asked God to take me to dark places. I've asked him if he would allow me, a normal, ordinary girl to take the joy of his presence to dark places on planet Earth. And what place could be darker than a cancer hospital? What place could be darker and more hopeless than an oncologist's office? What place could be more depressing than the bowels of a cancer treatment center? And I used this fire as an opportunity to witness. One of my favorite sayings is, don't waste your pain. Your pain may be different than my pain, but don't waste it. Use your pain as a springboard for ministry. Use it as a launching pad for witness and for expanding your influence. Don't go inward when you're in a fire, but ask God for divine appointments. The fire within you, my friend, should be hotter than the fire around you. One day, between Christmas and New Year, I just had one surgery and was preparing for another. And I was sitting in my oncologist's office next to a woman. And I turned to her and I said, are you having a very good day? And she said, no, I'm not. And I said, why? What's wrong? And she looked at me incredulously and she said, I'm dying. And do you know, I was able to minister hope and joy and peace to that woman. And I was able to tell her that none of us is going to get out here alive, but all of us can leave this place and enter into eternity with Jesus, in whose presence there is always fullness of joy. This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 says about not wasting your pain. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also are you sharers of our comfort. God has not comforted you to make you comfortable. He's comforted you to turn you into a comforter. So use your fire as an opportunity to witness of the goodness, the grace, the power, the hope, the peace, and the joy of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and we're determined not to waste our pain. But Father, we are determined to declare your goodness in a fire. Father, we're determined to hunker down into the truth of the Word of God and land in the Word. Father, we just want to tell you that we're going to worship our way through every fire. And Father, we're asking right now for divine appointments for ministry so that we will use our fires to make hell smaller and heaven bigger. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.